And what are the most, like, if you had to, like, name the most obvious things? Probably ads.
No. I would say it's.
But first, a word from our sponsor, Ahrefs. Do you wish you'd get more traffic to your website? Half the battle of that is knowing what to fix on your website regarding SEO. You could always hire an SEO consulting firm to do that, but that could be expensive. I have always said, if you could do it in-house, understand SEO, understand what you need to fix, you could probably fix it better than most SEO companies because you know your business, you know your customers, you know your content better than anybody else. What if you get a free SEO audit from an amazing tool set? That is the power of Ahrefs' Webmaster Tools. Ahrefs' Webmaster Tools gives you the tools and the information you need to go ahead and see a list of things that you could fix on your site immediately. You'll see the keywords you're ranking for, understand how Google sees your content and your site, and discover how making changes to your website could absolutely blow up your traffic in Google search. So check out Ahrefs' Webmaster Tools at ahrefs.com/webmaster-tools. And thanks again to Ahrefs for sponsoring.
Thinner content.
Thinner content.
I would say, and thin content, just to be clear, is not short content. Thin content has no value for the user. So if you think about it in terms of if somebody searched Google, found your content, does it actually meet or exceed user expectations? If it doesn't, it's thin, right? And that at scale is a huge problem. So that would be bad. The
So
user
you tell
experience.
them, and you detect this for them by doing an audit, and you tell them delete sometimes probably close to 70% of their content sometimes.
Occasionally, it could be that bad. It's usually not that bad, but there are pockets, like with larger scale sites, which I'm usually helping. It could be like, hey, in this part of the audit, here's 125,000 URLs that should go,
And there's people
right?
constantly, so those 125 URLs, usually there's like a person or two that probably are constantly producing content, even at the company at that day when you tell them, cut it.
Yeah.
And you're cutting that person's job also,
no 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 I'm changing what they're actually working on,
Okay.
right? So and I'm, you know, who knows what goes on behind the scenes at every client,
Right.
but they need to know that what they're producing is not good, or it's done in a way that, imagine you know, a new URL every day based upon something going on,
Right.
versus keeping it at one and just archiving the old, or you know, whatever, keeping it updated. Sometimes there's just cruft, as John Mueller would call it. And those are easy. Those are like, hey, there are 400,000 URLs here, and maybe they have 10 million pages on site, but here are 400,000 URLs that are literally junk.
Right.
And most are indexed,
Right.
and get them out,
And that
right?
could be a thing, an issue with like maybe their own search and internal search pages
Totally.
Or tag pages or
Totally.
Just some like
Yeah.
weird parameters that
Yeah.
generate URLs that they didn't even see before.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I even have this problem. I've been writing about search for 20 years and I have probably 40,000 articles and a lot of that stuff is old. But there's people are like, you should delete your old stuff. I'm like, no way in hell am I deleting
No,
this stuff.
I don't recommend that. Actually, with news publishers especially, I'm
Yeah.
like, do not set a time and go,
Yeah.
we're going to delete everything. Because if it's high quality content, it's helping you quality wise, one. Number two, they could have inbound links that are strong, right? Maybe, you know, a New York Times linked to it a bunch of times or whatever it may be. Like you don't want to go and nuke that old content. But if
Yeah.
it's completely not relevant anymore and really just not great anymore or whatever it may be, then totally cool to nuke it, you
Right.
know?
I mean, there's even some sites that say, look at your Google Analytics. If that page is not, or those URLs are not getting enough traffic, then
Yeah.
delete it. And I'm like, no.
No, that's wrong too. Google's on record about that
Yeah.
because it could be a seasonality thing. It could be, you know, just that it was really important in 2009 and people were searching and it's not now, but it's still high quality content.
One good
Yeah.
example for me is like people delete your Yahoo search category. I'm like, no. And now Yahoo search might come back. So, I
Exactly.
mean, I have all that history there. So,
It's a great example. Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, there's also the, yeah, that factor. So there's the thin content aspect. What else is there?
Definitely user experience. I mean, you know, aggressive ads, aggressive affiliate, deception, you know, forcing people through, let's say, a 40 slideshow article with ads all around everything. I mean, it comes in a lot of different forms, but usually I have at least a full deliverable or two just about this. You know, just to let people know this is part of it. It's literally in Google's broad core update post.
Right.
You know, is the page full of ads, this and that? Is the user experience terrible? So that's probably the second biggest bucket,
Okay.
which incorporates a lot of different things.
Right. That's, yeah. I mean, you mentioned a bunch of things there.
Yeah.
Ads, deceptive stuff, affiliate links,
Affiliate.
like in the way.
Yep.
Yeah. And sometimes that people just don't know. It's part of their design. And it's just like, this is how we had it. This is, you know, we wanted to encourage people to click here.
Yeah.
And that encouragement of people clicking in a certain way that helps the publisher, might not be the best experience for that user at that time.
Yeah, exactly. And the deception thing is big too, because if you anger a user, they're going to remember that. And they may even post about it on forums. Like Google can pick up a lot of different stuff, you know, like sentiment over time, right? Right. And you don't want to suddenly start doing that to people. It's not good. They won't come back. They won't imagine they're searching and see you in the search results. And they're like, oh no, last time I went there, I got hit by malware. They sent me downstream to a porn site. I didn't even realize I was going, right? That's the worst. It's like deceptive links downstream to advertisers or sponsors. Terrible, especially if those go wrong and you end up like on a malware site or, you know, a dangerous download site or something.
Right, for sure. Is there any other big thing in your mind that people overlook when it comes to BroCore updates?
So let's see. We have user experience, thin content, technical problems that cause quality problems is another one. So technical problems alone do not cause BroCore update hits. But imagine you had a technical problem that suddenly is dishing out tons of thin content and you don't even know that's happening. I've seen that a ton of times, right? So it's like, you know, you surface, let's say 80,000 pages and they were like, what is that? You know, and they dig in, they're like, oh yeah, that was a bug. And suddenly it's generating all these URLs with either like no content or like a one paragraph or whatever it may be. So you could have stuff like that going on. You could also have technical problems where Google comes across no content, but to you and your own crawlers, you see the content.
Right.
Right? So, I have some interesting stories on that I can't share around here. But yeah, that could be happening too. So now we have three big buckets, right? We have thin content, we have user experience, which incorporates a lot of different things, and you have technical SEO problems that can cause quality problems.
Right.
So within that, especially on larger scale and complex sites, that could be a lot of stuff.
Right. Yeah. The technical SEO probably stuff is probably the easier stuff for them to handle pretty quickly.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And by the way, this is also good to, you know, I wrote a whole blog post about the difference between relevancy adjustments, right, and true quality problems.
Right.
Like with BroCore updates, there could be relevancy adjustments, which are totally correct and not, and they're out of your control and they may be right.
Right.
You know, for example, the great example is like a news publisher that ranked for a celebrity name because of something that happened in the news.
Right.
Maybe you rank there and drive a lot of traffic for a year, but it's old now and not really relevant. Google drops you out of the top 10. That's not a quality problem. That's Google saying that article is not relevant anymore. Right. So it's super important to understand that.
And one thing you didn't mention, which is probably good for the next segment, are links. And a lot of people confuse links with these BroCore updates. And usually, links coming pointing to your website.
Yeah.
Not internal links, but links pointing to your website from external sites is usually not a BroCore update issue.
No. I actually just had this conversation with a big publisher yesterday, where especially they're, you know, Google's getting really good at understanding niche areas, okay? For example, the publisher that I was talking to is a large publisher, but I know that there are smaller ones really ranking well. And they had, they had 950 links. That's it, ranking at the top of search for commercial queries. Why? Because that's their vertical. That's what they hammer. They're really good at it, right? I mean, I rank with my site for things around algorithm updates, you know, beating out some bigger sites and new sites and stuff like that. So Google's really good at that. The other thing is with product review updates, right, which are also core update-like for product review sites, I've written about this numerous times. Sometimes sites with barely links, right, I'm talking under a few thousand links, are ranking through the roof when huge behemoths who have that and millions of links, you know, they tank. Right? So it's not all about the links. Sure, links are super important, right? That's what authority is about in Google's eyes, right? Links and mentions from well-known sites, but it's not the end all. So I never, you know, I can tell you this. I've helped a lot of large-scale publishers with millions and millions of links that got hit by BroCore updates. It's not the links, you know?
Right, no, it's interesting because it used to be like the content versus links, what's king, content or links, and now, I think nobody would argue that content is definitely king. And even Google's been saying recently that links are just not that as important as they used to be.
Yep.
You could used to be able to fix any panda problem with a link in the old days. Almost.
Like, ooh, I don't agree with that.
For a specific anchor text. Where like if you
panda?
Want, not panda, pre-panda maybe.
You're talking about?
I was about to say pre-panda, I'm sorry.
Any pre-panda okay, I was going to say, not panda.
I'm sorry, any pre-panda problem with links.
Okay.
Any pre-panda file you'll be able to fix with links.
Got it.
Panda came out, links became less important because the content was more important.
Right.
Core updates even accelerated that more.
Yep.
So you used to be able to literally throw links at the problem back in the old days. Then we saw a lot of things around like links and how they've changed. And more, like most recently, John Mueller has been saying it's less important. Not necessarily less important because maybe links are just not as maybe factored in as much, but more maybe because Google's able to determine if that link should be counted or not.
Yeah.
By themselves.
Absolutely.
And we saw that with different spam link updates. Although I don't think they need the spam link updates for that to work. I don't think. Right?
Well, the link spam update was huge. But I'll tell you, the every site that I analyzed that got hit by that had really old school Penguin 2012 links. Blobs of text with exact match anchor text linking, directory links. I mean, you name it, it was terrible stuff, which made me go, was Google really counting this?
Interesting.
Right? I mean, like, that was the mind-blowing part.
Penguin should have handled that by himself.
Totally.
Right.
Like, I could not believe what I was seeing. So, which may lead into our conversation about the disavow file, if you wanted to talk about that disavow tool. But, you know, it made, you know, because Google's on record explaining you really shouldn't have to use the disavow tool unless you really have a manual action or you think you could because you set up unnatural links.
Right.
I totally agree. I've seen it abused by site owners. It's terrible. There's one site owner that I feel terrible for. I keep telling him not to use it. I think that there are like 30,000 domains and he keeps adding.
It's funny. You can hurt yourself more with it. Like Gary said it numerous times.
I agree.
If he removes it, it'll be very interesting to see if his rankings go up.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if they would go up, but I think it's not doing anything. Right. I don't think it's helping him at all.
But maybe he disavowed stuff that might be helping him. So.
Absolutely. It's totally possible. So the disavow tool, actually, it's buried in the Google Search Console user interface for a reason. Googlers have even said they don't even care about it, right? I mean, like, if it went away, that would be cool. I could see it going away. I think Google could nuke the tool. Right. And I would even say, and I said this on the Marketing a Talk podcast, that it can go away this year. Because I feel like with the link spam update, with Penguin Real Time, with everything, with SpamBrain now, you know, handling links as well, I think that the disavow tool could go away.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they'll keep it, but really, unless you set them up, I'm talking to you out there now. Do not use the disavow tool unless you set up unnatural links on your own or you have a manual action.
But if they could get rid of the URL URL pagination tool, what was it called? URL
parameters tool. Yeah.
And they get rid of the URL next feature, they could definitely get rid of the disavow tool.
I agree. And I'll tell you, if SpamBrain gets really, really good, why would you need the disavow tool? It's just going to nuke.
That's what they're saying.
Nuke.
So they're today. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
But like you said, then they came out with the spam update. I'm just thinking maybe the sites you saw that were hit by that spam update that had really like penguinish links, maybe there were other links that maybe Google, maybe they handled those links and maybe there were some other things that maybe they saw.
I thought about that too, but I'll tell you, the drop was so big. So big. I mean, for some of these sites, it was like 70% they dropped.
Those are the same type of people that got hit by Penguin and said we need to build more links. You think?
Probably. I mean, some of them, it was, you know, very uncomfortable conversations that I've had with some site owners that were like, why this happened? And I'm like, had to tell them. I'm like, well, these are really spammy links. And then they're like, well, who set them up? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, you need to talk to whoever is working for
you.
You
have these companies coming out with this disavow services, which gets me to think like there's going to be companies that come out with this AI services when Google, if Google ever goes after like low quality AI generated content and AI, you're going to have the SEO companies using AI to build content. I'm kind of going back to the front of the video.
Yeah.
And then these companies, the same companies offering services to kind of disavow, not only disavow, but probably improve or remove that content that Google's targeting now because it was written by low quality AI tools.
Yeah, I mean, it's really an interesting time. I mean, I just read that from an artwork perspective, I shared this on Twitter, is that there's now a tool that can mess with at the pixel level. So those generative tools that are creating artwork can't actually do it from them.
Right. We didn't even get into all the legal issues around this.
Oh, massive legal issues, right? I mean, Germany suing.
Yes.
You got, you know, Getty suing.
Right.
Getty's logo was watermark was literally in some of these wacky photos that it generated. I mean,
and Neva's sitting back and saying, "We'll pay our publishers. We're going to pay publishers a piece of our revenue."
I have to hand it to Neva. I mean, I really like their implementation. I told the founder that the other day. Right. I mean, it's on Twitter, it's really good. They are linking to publishers. They are investing in publishers. They know that's a touchy subject with Google, so they're going right at it. They just launched Neva AI internationally. yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, who's using, you know, I don't know if a lot of people are using Neva, but perplexity.ai, same deal. U.com with UChat, yep. Same deal. Great stuff. Hopefully, Google has citations and links to publishers with Bard.
Well, yeah, we'll see. It's super interesting time. By the time this video comes out, I'm sure it'll be like, they made the right choice. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I think Google is being much more cautious, and they were kind of thrown into this by that Bing announcement.
I agree. That seemed really rushed, and Bing crushed them, as I put in my post. Yeah.
But I think some people at Google are looking back and being like, Bing, maybe you went too early. But we'll see.
Oh, yeah, because of what's being surfaced now with it. I mean, everyone's trying to hammer it. You know, yeah. You're going to find some weird stuff,
I'm sure. They should have done a smaller release. Like, over a million people, I think, hundreds of thousands of people now have access to it.
Yeah, and over a million signed up in the first 48 hours.
Now they're at 3 million, I think, which is insane.
Yeah, I bet it is up to 3 million.
They're pushing people to their Edge browser, to their platform.
To their mobile app.
Yeah. So it's a move. They could get a few points of market share. That's a huge amount of revenue.
Yeah, did you see the numbers on that? So it was 1% of market share equals $2 billion in advertising revenue.
It's crazy.
That's a massive upside.
Yeah. And they're profitable right now. Microsoft said they're profitable right now.
Right. I think they said it's an $11 billion business right now, search. So if you can keep adding $2 billion with every search share, it's pretty good.
Very good.
Yeah. I don't know if they will. I mean, I asked my daughter, would you try Bing Chat? Maybe. If it's good. My son, hell no.
So Matt McGee posted a poll, probably mostly to the SEO community.
Yeah.
And how much market share do you think Bing will get from this launch?
Yeah.
And I think it was like over 60% or like less than 5%.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be a lot.
Comes out or something, we'll see. But I've predicted market share changes and that type of stuff completely incorrectly since 2001.
Yeah.
I'm like, Microsoft with Live Search in 2007 is going to overtake everybody because there was no Chrome browser. There was no Android app by that point. It was just Microsoft owned the operating system. They owned the browser, Internet Explorer, and they still couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So quality will generally trump, but Google has a big step ahead, like way more.
Well, think about this, right? It's the default. Google's the default search engine on Apple.
Yep.
Right?
They pay a lot for it. Right.
In Android, which is what I use, it's all over the place. I can't get away from it. So you have to get someone to literally open another app.
Right.
To actually go and search Bing, I don't know. It's a tough road.
I mean, they did it with Internet Explorer. I mean, Google was not the default. It was MSN or whatever it was back then.
Yeah. So. Right.
But we will see.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
Right. Well, this was an amazing conversation, Glenn. Thank you so much for having this with me. I know you don't always like to do impromptu type of conversations like this. You're more of a structured guy. So I deeply appreciate this. And you provide so much information to the SEO community, both on your blog, on Twitter, LinkedIn, et cetera. How can people follow you and learn more about you?
Sure. The best way to follow me is on Twitter. I'm heavily active there, so that's at Glenn Gabe. Also on LinkedIn, I have a Facebook page for G2 Interactive, and I'm also on Mastodon. Unlike a lot of people, but I'm there.
Awesome. And hopefully an AI bot won't replace you anytime soon.
So. I hope not.
All right, cool. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Barry.